Please take out your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll be reading from there in just a moment. Would like to extend another welcome to those that are visiting with us. It's always encouraging to have those that stop in to visit with us and to worship with us as you go through your travels, and we hope that your time on the road will be safe and you will be able to return home well. I'm going to talk to you about the power of communication tonight. Communication is one of those things that I think used to be talked about more than they are now, at least as far as school age and into college. I remember having particular classes in high school that talked about good communication. We took time to read in front of each other. We took time to give some sort of a speech or some sort of a presentation in front of others. And I think, and this is just my opinion, but I think this is becoming a lost art in our modern civilization because everybody is used to, you know, getting on their phones and putting a little blurb out into the internet, and we do less and less communicating face-to-face than we've ever done before. And maybe that hasn't become an issue for you, but it is just sort of one of those things we deal with in our modern society today. But talking is a very important thing. If you have a child and you reach that age in which they should be saying some words and they're not, you would be concerned. You'd be talking to your doctor, finding out whether there might be any developmental or other issues going on that could be preventing them from developing speech. And we get excited when our kids talk. When we finally realize that we can begin to communicate with more than, you know, yes and no and pointing and those types of things. We can begin to have conversations with our children. And from that point on, maybe there's times in there you would hope that they would stop talking quite as much, but we enjoy it. I enjoyed it at least. And we enjoy seeing each other. When we come together, we begin greeting each other and talking to each other. And you know, right now it's springtime. We're doing a lot of talking about gardens and rainfall and all these different things. And we enjoy communicating with one another about those things. And while that's just chit-chat, it still is a social interaction I think is important for us. But we use, presumably, if we're around people at all, thousands of words a day. And everyone, at times, talks poorly. And I don't just mean getting a little tongue-tied when we're trying to say a difficult word. I mean sometimes we say something and we regret saying it. We've all wrestled with what James describes in chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, if you'll read with me, James 3 and verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And so we have to realize that there's a couple of possibilities when we begin speaking. And those possibilities are, first of all, that we can do harm with the tongue. I said that sometimes we say something and we instantly regret what we said. How many times have you said something careless and then it took a lot of time and energy to try to smooth things over and fix whatever problem we caused because we spoke carelessly in a moment? And so there's times in which we've either been the source or the recipient of words that were harmful, words that were not so encouraging. And I'm not going to give you the specifics because I'd rather not, but when I first started preaching, There was someone who I looked up to a lot that was in an audience, and I asked him how they felt like the lesson went afterward, and they made a comment to me that I almost never got up here again. And it was actually my mother-in-law that gave me a little bit of wisdom to insert into the situation, that it was an unjust criticism that was given to me, considering I think it was probably the second full lesson I had ever done. But it was, I'm sure they thought, constructive criticism, but it really wasn't. It was destructive criticism, and it was harmful. It took a little time to get over that. And to be honest, I did not ask for any more guidance or help from that individual again. That bridge was gone. It was not there anymore. But at the same time, others give words that always seem to be building up. Have you ever spoken to someone that always just seems to have a really kind word to give to somebody else, that always seems to know the right thing to say at the right time? Because I personally sit in a lot of situations in which someone might say something or there's some circumstance and I don't really know what to say. I mean, you can try to encourage them, but to really have something meaningful to say, you may be at a loss for words sometimes. But those that have the ability to come up with something really thought-provoking or encouraging at the right time, they have a powerful ability using their speech. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4 says that a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. It can be healing, it can be harmful. Proverbs 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We should be working as God's children and as followers of righteousness, we should be working to make sure that the things that we say are a fountain of life. That we are careful about what we see, because the power of the tongue to do good or evil is amazing. Amazing that such a small part of our body can either do so much good or so much harm. And as Christians, we are sent into this world to be a preserving influence. We are sent into this world to be a healing influence with the words of God. And to do that, we have to harness the power of the tongue for those things. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I realize there are times in which maybe someone doesn't want to hear what they need to hear in the moment. But if they really can open their mind to things that are helpful, it can do a lot for them. And so when we're talking about communication, we're also talking about relationships. There's a saying that says, communication is the stuff of which relationships are made. I can't imagine any way to have a relationship if you don't communicate in some way. You know, that child, before they begin speaking, still understands some basic things, such as my parents are safe, my parents are the ones that, you know, feed me and do things for me. If I cry, they're going to respond to me. That's still communication, even though it's not words that are being spoken. People that, you know, might be deaf or mute have other ways they communicate, but they do communicate. It's just not possible to truly have a relationship without communications. And so these relationships, in terms of the Lord's work, are the way in which we accomplish that work. We cannot do the Lord's work without engaging in communication. Two-way, even. We have to be willing to listen and we have to be willing to speak. And so if we're going to do that work effectively, then we have to build healthy relationships. And to build healthy relationships, well, we have to be able to communicate well. And the easiest place for that to start is in interaction with one another. I make an assumption when I'm speaking to a brother or sister in Christ that I'm speaking to someone who cares about me, who has some level of investment in my spiritual well-being, and vice versa. I have a spiritual investment in them. And so that should be a place in which we can communicate about things that might be on our mind, might be heavy on our hearts. But when it comes down to it, if we're really going to engage in communication in terms of righteousness, we need to be able to talk about this. We need to be talking about God's Word. This needs to be part of our communication. Some of us, that comes easier than others. I'll admit that. Some of us, our recall is better than others. There are definitely people with much better recall than mine. And what I mean by that is they can tell you, hey, this verse says this, and this is applicable to your situation right here, right now. I think I have to put a little bit more thought process into it to come up with that helpful verse or helpful saying at a time. But nonetheless, we need to be engaging in communicating about the Word of God, about righteousness with each other. And when we do that, we solidify those things within our mind. We get used to speaking about them. And then when we're speaking with a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, you'll be amazed at how those things begin to come out. You'll be amazed at how natural it is that even though you're no longer speaking to a brother or sister in the body of Christ, you begin to think, you know, there is a verse that God said. Let me tell you about that. It's applicable to your situation. And we can begin to speak about those things. The word communicate comes from a Latin word which means to share. And we are here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone that will listen. So it should become natural to communicate about these things, share our thoughts about these spiritual matters. There is also a reason why communication and community are closely related. We cannot effectively live in a community, whether we're speaking about the church or the home or the workplace, whatever you want to define that is, without healthy communication. It will break down if communication is not there. But we also need to explore communication with God. And the best place to be instructed about how to communicate, especially spiritual matters, is from God Himself. He's been communicating to man for a long time. It's written down for us, translated in multiple languages, so that we can have easy access to it. I think there's a trap in this because we think that in order to communicate spiritual thoughts, there is a trap in terms of feeling like we have to reword everything or we have to give it only from a personal perspective. There is value in simply sharing what God has already communicated as well. We might think, well, some of those parables are pretty outdated. They go to that first century. People still understand. People still understand the way that God communicated to man. And we can simply share those things. So staying with this idea of communication and communication from God, let's go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And read with me starting in verse 14. John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 14. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. And this is the testimony of John." John shared these things, wrote them down with a purpose that we might believe. But what does he start with? The Word became flesh. God chose to communicate with us. God chose to reveal Himself to us. I'm thankful that He has. But God takes communication so seriously that he sent his son into the world, and his son is described as being the word incarnate, the word itself. And the power of that word can change lives, can change eternal destinies for our souls. Try to imagine the blessings that we can bring into the lives of others by learning to communicate what God has communicated to man. By learning to share. Remember, that's what the word communicate means. But let's also understand that if we don't work on our communication and we engage in poor communication, that's simply foolish. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. A lack of good and proper communication is a sign of foolishness. That can manifest in a number of different ways. Maybe it's speaking without talking. Maybe it's a rash response to a situation. It can be a lot of different things. But in 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, 1 Samuel 25 verse 14, we read about a man named Nabal. It says, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. Nabal was a poor communicator for a number of reasons. Abigail apparently knew that. His servants apparently knew that. Now, Abigail goes and smooths things over and takes care of the situation, rectifies the problem between David and Nabal, but Nabal was still very foolish. And it seems, according to the passage, that he had a pattern of foolish behavior. He had reached some place of wealth or power or prominence, and felt like he didn't have to listen to, he didn't have to respond to anyone. And he was in danger of that costing him his life in this particular situation. And so let's realize that our words have an influence. Let's go back to the book of James and look in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There's a statement in the beginning of chapter 3 that a lot of people are familiar with. It's one that Alex and I have talked about quite a bit as he has undertaken the profession of preaching as well. He says, not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. But he goes on to explain this. He goes on to say, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide the whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They're so large and are driven by strong winds, and they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. James compares the tongue to the steering wheel, if you will, in our life. It can change our direction. It has the power to set a person off in the right direction or in the wrong direction. It has the power to build up relationships, and it has the power to destroy relationships. Proverbs 13 and verse 3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Did your mom ever tell you when you were growing up, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all? Do we understand the implication of that statement? It just simply means control your tongue. And not everything we think has to be said. But we also might have a heart problem if our natural reaction might be to say things that are harmful on a frequent basis. We might need to work on that heart problem because the tongue is connected directly to the heart. There was a man who gave lectures on the power of speech, and he asked his audience, could you go 24 hours without saying any unkind word about or to another person? And there were a few people in the audience that said yes, but most of them said, no, we can't do that. And he replied, those who cannot answer yes must recognize that you have a serious problem. For example, if you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, then you're addicted to alcohol. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying an unkind word, then you have lost control over your tongue. And I would even say that there are some people that seem to be addicted to poor communication, to saying mean things or evil things to other people. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, read with me please, beginning in verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We need to make sure that our heart is right, so that our words will be right. There is a reason why, as we age, we get older, we have more experience, that we are expected to have more good things, edifying things to say, than we did when we were younger. Because we ought to be building ourselves up in our heart with spiritual things, so that that is the natural outcome. Our words don't just affect the present direction of life, they determine our final and eternal destiny as well. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul provides a powerful tool for being better communicators. And this is a passage that's worthy of meditation. It's worthy of consideration, perhaps even memorization. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Not only should we be acting different than the world, we should be speaking different from the world. And as Christians, our speech should be seasoned with salt more and more over time. It should become improved because our heart is thereby improved. We need to let go of all those things that pollute us and input all the things that benefit us, and it will come out in our speech. And so he states there, speak only what is edifying. The word edification was used to describe building, putting together. It might even have the idea of remodeling. In other words, tearing something down and rebuilding it. Now we remodel houses to make improvements. But people should be remodeling their lives, being made better and better by the way that we think, and by the communication that we engage in together. And that means speak only what is appropriate. Paul said, speak a word as is good for edification, according to the moment. There are time and place to have different different conversations. Sometimes we learn when those situations are the hard way, and sometimes it seems to come naturally. We know just to kind of be quiet and hold our peace and be careful about what we're speaking of. But when it comes to speaking, there's also a phrase that says, timing is everything. And saying the right thing at the right time, it can be difficult. But speaking the wrong thing is worse than waiting to say the right thing. When I was first learning to teach classes, I struggled with trying to get, some communication in class, getting people to respond, answer questions, those types of things. And first of all, I'll make this statement. From one congregation to another, that can vary pretty wildly. You might have one congregation that's very used to engaging in that communication and another that is not, and they don't want to say anything. But aside from that, there was another preacher that told me one time, he said, say your question and just wait. And he said, the uncomfortable silence will get to somebody sooner or later. Now, that can be pretty uncomfortable for the teacher too. But the reason I share that with you is because sometimes when we're, around someone, there becomes this uncomfortable silence, and then we just have this compulsion to speak. And sometimes what ends up coming out is not appropriate for the moment. And we kind of have to be careful that we don't just feel like, well, I got to say something. Well, timing is everything, and maybe that's not the right time. And maybe you need to wait and consider your words before you share them. Proverbs 15 and verse 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. It is so good to be edified in speech, but consider it so that we might speak what is appropriate for the moment and make sure that it is only what is edifying. But also we are to speak only what is gracious, that gives grace to those who hear. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 16, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Jesus spoke in a way that gave grace really to those that needed it, those that could benefit to it, and also those that simply were open to it. There are some people that you can choose to say the right thing at the right time, but they're not open to it, and it won't benefit them. But Jesus, in all of his communication, remember, he is the word that came. In all of his communication, he always said the right things at the right times. And if we store up within us all the right sayings from the Lord, we can pull them out to say at the right time. And we should be so full of love, of truth, and purity, the way that Jesus was, that people enjoy listening to what we have to say. There was a gentleman in New Mexico that was of Jewish descent. And we would have a number of discussions. He was a very good friend of one of the members there in Berlin. And we had a pretty good relationship. You know, we could talk about all sorts of things. And it was fascinating to talk to him about, especially like Old Testament feasts and different things, because he had so much knowledge passed down from his parents and different things about those. And so we had some great discussions. And the last time I spoke to him, he looked at me and he said, "I just want to say thank you." Now, at this point, I have not convinced this man to accept New Testament Christianity, the way it's presented in the Bible. I've not convinced him of that. So I was a little taken aback when he said, "Thank you." And I said, "Thank me for what?" And he said, "All the discussions that we've had together, even when we didn't agree, benefited me." And I felt like that was a really good compliment. And I don't know what came of him. I have not kept in contact with him, and I hope that some of those things sunk in enough that he continued to think about them. But he was one of those amicable individuals that you could talk a long time with, and it was never any animosity because we didn't agree. And we would pull out the scriptures and we'd talk about them and we would discuss them. And I think both of us benefited through those discussions. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." That doesn't mean that every person is going to accept what you say and it's going to change their whole way of thinking and they're going to come around to the truth. But it means that as far as it depended upon you, there was good communication going. Salt prevents spoilage. That was so well understood at the time because they didn't have a Frigidaire refrigerator sitting in a kitchen, plugged into the wall, going night and day, keeping everything cold. The only way they preserved anything was with salt. So they understood this whole idea that salt wasn't just a seasoning, it was a preservative. And if we make sure that our speech is gracious, seasoned with salt, then it will prevent unwholesome words. In other words, we will speak things that are befitting of the moment, that are gracious, and that are edifying. Our words need to reflect the gracious way that God has dealt with us. So again, Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." The way that He has dealt with us is the way we then need to deal with others, including communication. David prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." We need that type of prayer. We need that type of attitude. We need that goal in life to make sure that the things that we say build up and do not tear down. I hope this lesson has been a good communication with you, that it's benefited you. And if you're here this evening and you realize that maybe there's something amiss in your life, maybe there's something you've been struggling with, or you need to, even if it is, to know more about Jesus and know more about what it is to be a Christian, we'd like to assist you with those things. Song number 644 has been selected as an invitation song. If we can help you in these spiritual things, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.